This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم كتابه في آيات الصيام يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verses that speak of Siyam, indeed Allah, what He wills and He wants for you when decreeing upon you fasting, He wants for you ease. He does not want for you difficulty. And He wants you also to fulfill your role, to fulfill the days and to fulfill His command, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I usually do in Ramadan, my khutbas are more designed as reminders, as I find that everyone in Ramadan is focused, or trying to be as focused as possible, on their ibadah, on good deeds, on improving their own status. And I don't like starting series in Ramadan because I feel like it's better even for my own self to focus on that same thing. So I'm going to offer you three reminders, two short and one a little bit more of the bulk of the khutbah. The first reminder is the reminder I offer every single khutbah throughout Ramadan. I've been doing that for 8 straight years here at least. More if you track me back elsewhere. Jaddidu niyyah. Renew your intentions. It's not just because I need something to fill in the material of a khutbah. Very important throughout Ramadan that you take a moment, you step back, and you renew your intentions again. Intentions get rusty, they get old. We get distracted, we deviate. We forget what it was that we set out to achieve to begin with. It's just the nature of who we are. It's how we are. We require reminders. And the best reminder you can offer for yourself, this is basically you installing an internal reminder where you're always using Friday to renew your intentions for whatever you do, but especially in Ramadan. This is the 9th day of Ramadan. We're coming close to the first third of the month. This is around when the graph starts to slowly come down. This is when the numbers start to come down, where you start to have a azuma or something. You have people coming to your house, or maybe you're going to someone else's house. So you give yourself a free day card. I can't go today because I have people, or I can't go today because I was at someone's house, or I'm too tired, or actually I need a day off. So you start offering yourself excuses, and the numbers start to come down. And then one day leads to two, leads to three, and then you get into the bad habit, and slowly you find yourself right at the doorsteps of the last 10 nights, barely figuring out how you're going to do those last 10 nights appropriately. This is a very good time to renew your intention. What is it that you want? As long as what you want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not been granted to you, or you have no evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you what you're asking for, or that what you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for has not changed in value, then there is no good reason under the sun for you to change your approach that you started the month out with. If what you want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to carry the same value that it carried at the beginning of Ramadan, and as long as you have no evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted it to you, then tell me, based on what do you start to decrease your energy and your effort? There's no sense in it. There's no logic. If what you want is still what you want and it's still of the same value, then you continue to commit yourself in the same way. That's, well, how am I going to do that? Because it's hard. You renew your intention. You go back and you take a look. Why am I doing this? What do I want? Is what I want valuable? Is what I want important? Do I really, really want it? How much do I want it? Are some of the things that I want, others are competing with me, and do I need to maybe push myself a little harder to make sure I get it? If the answers to any of those questions are yes, then you need to find your way back. I can tell you that this year has been interesting. Imams all over the city have talked about increased numbers in comparison to last year. So I believe that there's something happening. And I believe that in the minds of Muslims, in the hearts of Muslims, there is a desire. My job is just to make sure that you stay on track. Just stay focused. Make sure your eyes on the end game, the end line, the finish line. Don't deviate. It's way too early. Don't deviate. Focus on what you want. Continue to move forward. Most of my reminders, just so that's clear, most of my reminders are designed towards those who are my younger brothers and sisters. No offense. If you're older, if you have sisters who have families, Allah ya'inkum. Honestly, may Allah strengthen you. It's difficult as it is. When I'm saying these things, I'm always thinking in my mind, if you're younger, if you're my age or younger, look, you have no excuse. Things don't get better moving forward. This is the best it's going to be. This is when you commit yourself. There's no other time. There's no other time to say, no, I'll do it next year or the year after or once I graduate from high school or once I get into university or once I get into medical school or once I get into law school or once I finish. No, no, no. You see, as you move forward, you only get busier and life only gets more difficult. There's no better time than right now. Do it now. How old are you? 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. Makes no difference. Right now is the time to do it. If you want to build your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do it now. There's no point. Honestly, there is no point at all. And this is not me just saying it because I want you to. This is the truth of the matter, that this is the time to do it. But you think you're going to be less busy when you're married or when you have children? Or are we going to live this Western idea that you're going to wait until retirement, until you actually turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ya Sheikh, there's no sense in any of that. That's my first remark. Number two. I was given permission to actually share this story without naming the brother, but I was given permission by him. He actually asked me to share this story. A brother of mine here, very dear brother, had a really severe scare last year where they found a lesion in the lung. I looked at it with him and I was just as scared as concerned as the physicians were. This is what I do for a living, so when I looked at it, it didn't look good. So we spoke for a while, and inshallah khair, alhamdulillah, let's go through, get the results, let's see what it's going to show. Alhamdulillah, it came back that it was just a really, really nasty infection. A really nasty infection. Nothing malignant so far, but very nasty infection. It was told that this infection is going to be very difficult to deal with. You may even have to have a part of your lung removed, if not the whole thing. It's a messy situation. This brother had been smoking for over 35 years. For over 35 years, he's been smoking. So I talked to him and he said, maybe, just maybe, it's finally time. And we left it at that. He would come and he would share with me later that he had stopped smoking and he had completely quit. And not only had he quit, but one of his sons who was smoking, because most fathers who smoke, their sons will smoke. If most fathers who smoke, their sons are going to smoke. What do you think is going to happen if you smoke? What do you think is going to happen? That miraculously somehow your children won't. Why? If you do it, then they're going to do it. Don't waste your time. If you're smoking, don't even waste your breath. Wallahi, don't even waste your breath telling them not to. Because the hypocrisy that appears from your mouth is so harmful for you and harmful for your deen and your character. I would say just hold your tongue. But he stopped smoking. And his son stopped smoking. And his home now is a smoke-free area. And he has never felt better. And he asked me to actually share his story today. Because he wants to get it out to some of his brothers and sisters who smoke. That is, if you still smoke, stop. Because stopping is better. And you will be happier. And you will find more barakah in your time. And barakah in your health. And barakah in your home. So stop smoking. Ramadan, if you have the problem, if this is something you got caught up with at some point in your life, stop it now. Give me a better time. Go ahead. Offer me a better opportunity than a day where you have to spend 17 hours where you can't smoke anyways. A day where that's filled with barakah. Where the doors of heaven are open. We can't smell them because of your smoke. We're not smelling the doors of heaven open because too many people are smoking. Maybe stop smoking. Do that for your health. Do that for your children. Do that for your ummah. Do that for your wealth. Imagine how much more money you could put together. Imagine how much more sadaqah you could be giving without actually feeling it, just if you stopped a bad habit. And this is what I wanted to share with you. My third and last reminder is the bulk of today's khutbah. Ramadan teaches us, in addition to compassion and empathy, you talked about that last week. In addition to that, Ramadan is very good at teaching us grit and self-discipline. And the reason that I'm sharing these topics throughout the month is because I feel like sometimes we go through Ramadan, we go through the motion of Ramadan. We fast and we pray, but we don't sometimes notice what the lesson is, like what the underlying lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to teach us. And when that happens, we end up without, when we don't know what the curriculum is, we don't know what the objective of the learning objective is, we don't learn it. And then we don't know how to continue it later on. And then we just default. We just reset right back to how we were before Ramadan, waiting for another Ramadan to come. And that's not helpful. What you benefit in Ramadan is actually being able to build on what you got. The self-discipline and grit is very important. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, this is his quote. This to me is one of the most beautiful quotes that exists in the world. He says, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ الْحَدِيثِ مُتَّفَقْ عَلِهِ لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالصَّرَعَ إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. The strong person is not the person who can beat you up physically, who can pin you down and punch your face into the pavement. That's not the strong person amongst you. The strong person amongst you is the one who's able to control themselves when they're being triggered, when they are being pushed, when their buttons are being pushed, when someone is trying to get them angry, is the person who can completely control themselves. No problem. I'm not letting you do that to me. That is a shitty. That's the strong person. Carl Jung says that enlightenment is only achieved through controlled strength and discipline. Enlightenment. If you want to be enlightened in your life, you need to control your strength and you need to be disciplined. There is no khayr in this world without discipline. There's no khayr. It's impossible. You can't imagine anyone on earth achieving anything or mounting to anything without discipline. It's impossible. And you know that because if you have children, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This is what you worry about. If your child is not disciplined, they're not going anywhere. They're not going to be able to get anything done because they don't have that self-discipline. An exercise I give to some of the students, this is something I've been doing for over 20 years, is that at Maghrib, instead of actually having a full meal, which is what we do, you have a few dates, you drink water, some soup, and that's it. And for years and years, I tell people to do it, and the guys look at each other, they smile, they look at me, they laugh, and then we go on with our day. It's as simple as that. Yes, of course, he's going to say it again this year, so I say it again the next year, and they look at each other again, they'll have a good laugh, and then they go on. And then he keeps on going. Every couple of years, one person will say, I'll give it a try, Sheikh. And they'll give it a try. And wallahi, you will be surprised if you do try this at some point, what it does to you. There's a switch that turns on inside of you that you didn't know existed. Because you don't realize that for all these years, you were just fasting for Adhan al-Maghrib. The worshipped thing for you was Maghrib, Adhan. That's what you were waiting for. That was your beloved. You fell in love with Adhan al-Maghrib, and that's what mattered to you. Once you stop eating at Maghrib well, you don't have anything to look forward to at Maghrib anymore. There's nothing to look forward to. You're not going to have a full meal. If anything, you're going to watch people devour all the food that's hot and good, and they're going to have to eat leftovers later on. So you just stop looking forward to stuff. And when you stop looking forward to it, you start fasting for a different reason. Your whole conceptualization of fasting changes because you're not looking forward to a specific moment anymore. It's too far. After Taraweeh is way too far. Now, obviously, you need to break your fast immediately at Maghrib Adhan. Immediately. You don't give a moment less. You have your tamar, you have your water, you have your soup. But the fact that you're not having a full meal, it does something to your mind. Because we're not used to self-discipline. It's a degree and a level of self-discipline that's very difficult. That's not enjoyable at all. Because your nafs is putting up with siyam. Your nafs is basically putting up with you. Like, fine, we're not going to eat. Whatever. This seems not to be something I can argue about with you. Fine, we'll fast. And then you tell it, we're not going to eat at Maghrib when the food is hot. And that's when the nafs is like, enough is enough. Enough is enough. No, we're going to eat at Maghrib. And when you actually fight and you don't do it, and you win, now it's almost like if you play video games, you level up. All right? Wallahi, you level up. Because now you have a degree of self-discipline that you did not have before. You're in control. You're the one who says. You're not eating because your nafs can't handle anymore. You're eating because you want to eat, and you won't eat because you don't want to eat. It's completely up to you. You're in control now. It's a very, very valuable. And once you start doing it, you don't stop doing it. I've been doing it for 20 years. No, it's not a problem at all. You stop looking forward to food. Honestly, you stop thinking about food. You're hungry, you're thirsty, but I'm not thinking about food. I'm not thinking what's being cooked today. I don't care. It doesn't make a difference to me. Not because my wife makes great food. It doesn't matter. You stop thinking about it that way. It's very important to try and experience some of these things. And I can see everyone's looking, no one's going to do it. But that's fine. As long as you understood from me what I explained, maybe you can contemplate it. Maybe in a few years you'll give it a shot and you'll see that it actually does open up something inside of you. Another piece that I think Ramadan is very good at teaching us when it comes to self-discipline. Right now, you're fully functional. You are fully functional. You are going to work every day. You're actually spending more time outside of the house doing activities that you wouldn't do outside of Ramadan. You're coming to the masjid, you're praying. So you're fully functional on much less food and definitely much less sleep. So the question becomes, well, outside of Ramadan, when you have more food and you have more sleep, what should your performance level actually look like? Shouldn't it be better? Technically, shouldn't it not be better? So if it's not, then the problem becomes, that means the more that Allah is giving you, it's becoming a barrier for you. Allah is giving you more. And instead of using that more to achieve more, to go farther, it's a barrier. It's holding you back. Because outside of Ramadan, you're not praying Qiyam. So here's more food and more sleep and no Qiyam. That's very scary. That what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, the extra gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bestowing upon you, His blessings, are being used as obstacles and barriers between you and who you could be and what you could achieve in your life. And Ramadan is reminding you, don't let that be the case. The extra that we give you, make sure it's used. Make sure you're more productive after Ramadan. Make sure that you're using the fact, because when you think about it, I know that you think about this when you're at work, you're like, right now I'm doing all everything. If I could eat though, if I could have my coffee or my tea, alas, I would totally be like the best person at whatever it is I am doing. But then after Ramadan comes in, that's not the case. That's not the case at all. But why? Because we're not utilizing Allah's ni'mah. And this is a scary piece. This is the scary piece. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us something and we don't utilize it appropriately. And that's why self-discipline is so important. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. إخواني وأخواتي، ألخص لكم بسرعة، في رمضان أحب أن أقدم لكم تذكرات قصيرة تعينني وتعينكم على الالتزام بما أمرنا الله سبحانه وتعالى به في رمضان، وتعيننا على الاستفادة من هذا الشهر الكريم كما ينبغي لنا أن نستفيد منه. فأولاً إخواني وأخواتي، جددوا نياتكم. في هذه الفترة من الشهر ينخفض حضور الناس للتراويح، ويقل ويجد الإنسان لنفسه الأعذار حتى لا يحضر، لأنه تعب أو لأنه يعني قضى يعني أياما طويلة في العمل ولم ينم فيجد لنفسه الأعذار. يا أخواني، ما دام الذي تريده من الله لم ترزقه من قبل الله، وما دام الذي تريده من الله لم يتغير في قيمته، فلا ينبغي لك أن تغير من همتك، فلا ينبغي أن تنخفض الهمة إذا كنت لم تنل بعد ما تريده من ربك سبحانه وتعالى. أسأل الله أن ينيلنا رغباتنا من عنده جل جلاله. أما الثانية فإخواني وأخواتي، دون أن أطيل عليكم هكذا وبدون مقدمات ولن أكرر القصة، يا أخي إذا كنت تدخن فأقلع في هذا الشهر الكريم، إذا كنت قد ابتليت بهذا البلاء السيء، هذا الذي يأتيك بالمرض ويأتيك بالريح الكريه ويأتيك بالابتلاء فيما بعد في أولادك، هذا الذي يبتليك في مالك وفي صحتك، أقلع عنه في هذا الشهر الكريم. يبارك لك الله سبحانه وتعالى في عافيتك، يبارك لك الله سبحانه وتعالى في مالك، ويبارك لك الله سبحانه وتعالى في أهلك. أما الثالثة، هذا الشهر جعله الله سبحانه وتعالى لنا ليعلمنا الانضباط، ليعلمنا الالتزام، ليعلمنا القدرة على التحكم بالذات، على التزكية. هذه القضية في منتهى الأهمية. الإنسان إذا لم يكن منضبطا، إذا لم يكن يستطيع التحكم بذاته وبمشاعره وبانفعالاته وبردات فعله وباختياراته، فلا ندري بالضبط إذن ما الذي جناه من توحيده، ما الذي جنيته من لا إله إلا الله. هذه الكلمة يا أخواني أتت لتحرر الناس، لتحررك من القيود. فإذا كانت هذه الكلمة لم تحررك من قيود النفس، فإذن هي لم تخدم غايتها فيك بعد. He says سبحانه وتعالى, and this is a verse I explained a couple of nights ago in Tarawih, I was recited in Surah Al-A'raf. After telling us the stories of all of the umam that came before us, all the nations of Nuh alayhi salam and Hud and Salih and Lut and Shu'aib, they're all punished, all the people who were punished. He says at the end of them, the verse is almost like disappointment. Almost like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just disappointed. And just expressing just how disappointed he is. And he just says, وَمَا وَجَدْنَا لِأَكْثَرِهِمْ مِنْ عَهْدٍ وَإِنْ وَجَدْنَا أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَفَاسِقِينَ. And we didn't find most of them to be able to hold a covenant. And we found most of them quick to deviate, quick to get distracted, quick to lose focus on what path we put them on. You gave your covenant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a lot of things. All of us did. When we said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, we've offered a covenant that we will stick to this teaching. We will stay with it. We will stay the course till the end. Till the end. Whatever the end will look like. Whenever the end comes, we're in it for the long haul, for till the end, till the bitter end. That's what grit means, is that you're there, you're always going to be there. It's easy to say, I'm going to commit, and you commit for a month and a half, or two or three, and then you fall off the grid, and you come back later, and then you fall off again, and you come back there. People who work in masajid like myself, we see this all the time. People fluctuate in and out. Very rare to have someone who has the grit. When they start, they're there with you till the last moment. It's very rare. It doesn't happen very often. And if an imam or someone who works in a masjid finds it, it's a gem, very valuable. Someone who's willing to prioritize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his teaching, regardless of what's happening in their lives. Of course your life is going to be fluctuating. Of course your life is a bunch of variables. Of course one day you're happy and the other you're not. And one day you're committed, one day you're healthy, and the other day you're not. And one day you have time and the other day you're not. And one day, this is life. What did you expect? But that doesn't change. Those who have grit, it doesn't change them. Ramadan proves to you. Ramadan proves to us. Oh, you totally can do it. Here's 30 days and 30 nights. You will not miss one. You won't miss one. You'll fast them all, and you'll pray them all, and you'll be fine. It won't put a dent into who you are at all. It won't hold you back. Yeah, you're a little bit more tired. You're a little bit more hungry, but that's okay. That's okay. You survived, and you're actually a little bit more productive than you were before. It's a beautiful feeling to have. That concept of grit is so meaningful. It really is. And Ramadan is designed to teach us that. Take that in. Absorb it. Allow it to be a part of who you are. Remind yourself that we are here for the long run, for the long haul, till the end. We're not part-time Muslims. Don't be like that. Don't look at it like that. I'm here for the Ramadan. And then No. This is an issue. You commit to this, you commit to with the Prophet alayhi salatu, you offer your covenant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't deviate. You stay the course until the end. And to me, that's the most valuable thing that Ramadan can teach you. Because if it can teach you that, if you can learn that from Ramadan, if you allow Ramadan to teach you that, then you're set, inshallah, for life. And Ramadan has already showed you that you can. The question is, will you? The question after Ramadan isn't, can you? That's already been established. It's the ninth day, you've already established that. You've established that you can. The question is, will you? That's all. It's an issue of willpower, which is if you break it down and take a few steps back, it's just self-discipline and grit. That's all it is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment asks you, not could you do it? Why didn't you do it? You can't argue and say, no, I couldn't. No, of course you could. I gave you Ramadan as an example. You were able to do more with less for 30 straight days. Definitely could have done it. But then desire of doing it is a whole different story. I'll end with that, inshallah ta'ala. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن زوجاته أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المرابطين في المسجد الأقصى ورده إلينا في العاجل القريب يا رب العالمين وردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا اللهم بارك لنا في شهر رمضان اللهم وفقنا فيه إلى الصيام وإلى القيام وإلى غض البصر وحفظ اللسان وتقبل منا يا مولانا إنك أنت السميع العليم ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. There are three fundraisers coming up in the community. One is on Sunday for the LMM, the 2nd of April over at the LMM. And they have been offering free iftars all month long, and I thought it was worth kind of pointing that out, alhamdulillah, that this year they offered them for free for everyone. And then after that, on Thursday, the Islamic Relief also has an iftar somewhere downtown. It's on Thursday, April 6th. And then on Saturday, MAC has an iftar as well. See what you're able to actually attend and see who you can support to keep our organizations afloat, inshallah ta'ala.